Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 12. We'll be taking our thoughts this morning from verse 42. Matthew, chapter 12, verse 42. The Queen of the South will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. Please bow with me in prayer. Our precious Father and our beloved God, once more we come to thy throne of grace through the avenue of prayer. Father, we bow humbly before thee, we bow reverently to give thee honor and glory, but also, Father, to speak to thee, Lord, and to ask of thy assistance as we have been instructed by the Holy Spirit, by thy Holy Spirit to do so. Father, please allow us to find in thee strength, Lord. Please allow us to find in thy word direction, that, Father, the wisdom that we seek may be from above and not the wisdom from below, and that, Father, we may understand that your Son is he who is greater than Solomon, that, Father, that we must learn to come to him, Father, for advice, that we must learn to come to him for righteous judgment, but also, Father, that we must learn to come to him for provision, and for every way, Father, in which he loves us and has comforted us. Thank you, Father, for sending us that Son. Thank you for sending us our Savior. And Father, as we strive to understand thy word this morning, be with thy servant and allow me, Father, to be as an oracle of thine, that I, Father, may share this with those who are listening to me this morning, and that it may be for the honor and glory of thy name, but also for the mutual edification of the saints. Forgive us, Father, when we have failed thee. Please, Lord, allow us to find that that love in our hearts to forgive those who have offended us. But also, Father, that if we are aware that we have offended, Father, or we are informed that we have offended, that we may be diligent and loving and wanting to repair and to restore, Father, and reconcile with those whom we have offended. Father, thank you once again for these blessings. We pray this in the glorious and mighty name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. We have been seeing the life of Solomon as an example, or rather as an admonition for us to take and to consider for our own lives. But last week, we mentioned the fact that under wisdom's gaze, we see a parallel with Jesus as a wise ruler himself. But we stopped at the point where we said that Jesus was far superior to Solomon. And we mentioned that there in John chapter 8, Jesus was able to do something that Solomon was not able to do. You see, where Solomon was able to help an innocent woman and help her be reconciled, or rather return to her child, we see that Solomon could not forgive her for her sins. We see that Solomon had no power nor authority to be able to forgive her of her conscience that was plagued by sin. But Jesus, we see on the other hand, does have that power. Jesus does have that authority. And hence we read here in chapter 12 of Matthew how Jesus here is speaking about this authority, because the context of this verse actually begins all the way at verse 22. When his power and his authority as king is being questioned, when his source of wisdom and his source of power is being discredited by his adversaries, claiming that his power came from the devil himself. And thus Jesus finds it necessary and finds it important to not only declare that what they were doing was blasphemous, but he also had to reveal to them that what they were seeking and what they were asking, they would not receive, not because he was refusing, but because they had already received it. They simply would not accept it. Chapter 12, verses 38 through 42 is what this is pointing to. Jonah is the first example that Jesus provides as a sign to them. A sign that they sought, but the reality is that when Jonah's sign was seen, Nineveh obeyed, but the people of Israel was still rebellious. We see that the same is true with the queen of the south, the queen of Sheba, which we read about there in 1 Kings chapter 10. When she heard about the fame of Solomon, when she heard about his wisdom, when she heard about how much this man had done and how great of a man he was, she was moved to leave her kingdom to come see for herself. And not only to come see for herself, but to test to see if indeed his wisdom was from God. What we're seeing in these two examples is that with Jonah, when he preaches God's word, the people of Nineveh were obedient to the word that came from God through the lips of an unwilling prophet. In the case of the queen, we see the faith that moved her to actually go and to be willing to listen and to verify if indeed what was being said was true. But in both cases, what we see is that Jesus uses them as examples of what those who were claiming or trying to take his credibility away were unwilling and not doing. And here, brethren, in lies our lesson. Because Jesus was declaring to them one greater than Jonah, one greater than Solomon is here. And indeed, our God, Jesus, his son, is still here with us today. But yet, just like in the first century, mankind seeks a sign. Mankind still wants to admire other men and other women. But Jesus, who is God and who is greater than any man who ever lived this world, we still refuse to believe in him. We still want him to give us more. We still want him to show us more. When in reality, a sign has already been provided for us. So what makes Jesus greater than Solomon? How was Jesus superior to Solomon? Pay attention to the fact that here in chapter 12, verse 42, Jesus is pointing to what made Solomon great was his wisdom. What made Solomon great was the fact that his wisdom became very notoriety in his power, his riches, and his fame. What moved this woman to come to Solomon was what she had heard about how he was even wiser than all the men of the East. Turn with me now to 1 Kings chapter 4. You see, in order for you and I to identify how Jesus far exceeds Solomon's greatness, well, we first need to identify what was the source of Solomon's greatness. And there in 1 Kings chapter 4, notice what the Bible says, beginning there at verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart, like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men. Then Ethan the Ezrahite and Heman, Chalcol and Darda, the sons of Mahal, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. What made Solomon great was what God gave him. What made Solomon great was the wisdom that he had received from above. What made Solomon great is that he was able to use this wisdom efficiently. Therefore, these characteristics are also true in Jesus Christ. Because there is a comparison that Jesus is making there. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 42, Jesus is comparing himself to Solomon. And he is saying that he is greater than Solomon. Therefore, in order for Jesus to be greater than Solomon, there are some traits that Solomon had that made him great that Jesus also had, but he amplified. You see that? The last portion of that word, greater, means that they shared something, only Jesus did it better. Jesus outweighed Solomon when it came to efficiency and wisdom. Jesus outweighed Solomon when it came to learning and knowing how to use that heavenly wisdom that God had given him. And thus we have to understand how Jesus is greater than Solomon. For example, if you will, point number one, go with me to Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, our first point of this morning's lesson is that Jesus did more with less. Jesus did more with less. In the chapter 4 of 1 Kings, verses 1 and forward, we see all the men that Solomon appointed to his cabinet, if you will. We see how Solomon surrounded his kingdom with many, many men and many soldiers and many people that were eligible and were wise to be able to preserve the purity or the peacefulness, that was found there in Jerusalem. But notice how Jesus did more with less. Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Now pay attention to this. In chapter 4, the Sanhedrin is questioning Peter and John for the miracle that they had just performed at the temple in Acts chapter 3. John and Peter respond to their question, and Peter very eloquently and very succinctly describes and reveals to them that it was through the power and the authority of Christ Jesus. Not only that, we see that in verse 11, he quotes scripture correctly divided. And not only does he quote scripture, he exegetes it properly. That means that he interpreted correctly. So here is a man who was a fisherman by trade, a man who had never gone to any kind of training by a Jewish rabbi, a man who had never been taken under the wing by any wise man of the East during that time, who was not only learned in scripture, but knew how to rightly divide it and make the wise application to it. Who was chosen by Christ, not because of his education, not because of his boldness, not because anything he had to offer, but to prove to the world why he's superior to Solomon. You see, Solomon used wise men to work with him. He used experts, if you will, in their fields. Solomon surrounded his cabinet with people who were well skilled in those areas of expertise. Jesus didn't need that, because Jesus trained these 12 men himself. Jesus changed the world with 12 unlearned and untrained men. Where Solomon needed a great amount of advisors and a great amount of workers to do his bidding, Jesus only needed 12. See, it reminds me of that old saying, right? It's not the size, it's not quantity, but rather quality. Christ was able to do more with less because his wisdom is far superior to that of Solomon's. He was able to take, as 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 18 says, Jesus was able to take the base things of this world. Jesus was able to take that which was disdained and dismissed by the world. If you turn a few chapters back in chapter 2, notice that this was not the first time where this is brought up by them. Chapter 2, we see there that the people of Israel who are hearing them speak in their tongues in verse 7, notice, then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Well, in chapter 4, we see why. We see why they marveled. Verse 13 tells us that they were able to acknowledge that they were untrained and they were uneducated. Where did these men learn how to speak foreign languages? When did these men learn to speak languages that we know are not spoken there among the people of Nazareth? When? How? Well, you see, Christ did more with less. Christ was able to change the world with the right men. Men who were faithful. Men who were taught and trained by him. Men who learned and knew how to use the power of the Holy Spirit efficiently, just as they had seen their master do it when he was accused of using the devil's power. You see, brethren, our God, he is more wise than we will ever know. But Jesus came to show us that wisdom in the flesh. He came to show us why his wisdom was superior to Solomon's. In essence, what Christ was saying was, the reason I'm superior is because where Solomon received the wisdom from my father, I was with my father who gave Solomon that wisdom. Go with me now for point number two to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, notice what the Bible is telling us here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, notice this, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. You see, where Solomon's wisdom was always recognized to come from God, Jesus is declared by the Holy Spirit to be the wisdom of God. He was superior because he was the source of that knowledge. He is the source of that understanding. Remember when Philip wanted to see the Father? What were the words of the Lord? How long have I been with you and you asked to see the Father? There in John chapter 17, Jesus adds more clarity to that statement when he says, "You and I, O Father, we are one." You see, Jesus had the family resemblance. Jesus had the family resemblance. Like his father, he was the source of wisdom. And notice what Jesus was able to do with this wisdom. The Bible says that he was able to save, through the foolishness of the cross, he was able to save those who obey him. You see, Jesus is superior to Solomon. Because as we've already stated, Jesus could do more with less, but Jesus also knows how to do the impossible. He knows how to do the impossible. Solomon never, in all his years as king, never was he able to give us a solution to the sin problem. Even when he dedicates the temple in 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon himself acknowledges that that temple, God could not dwell in it because it was too small to contain the great and vast presence of God. Solomon declared, and he declared to the people, that that temple was mainly there so that they could have a connection with God and pray to him. But Jesus is the temple. He is our connection. And Jesus can contain his Father because he and his Father are one. You see how he can do the impossible? He was superior because he knew how to use it. He knew what the purpose of that power was. He knew what the purpose of that wisdom was. And he used it to save those who had been lost. As Scripture says, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Solomon, with all of his wisdom, would never have figured out, and he never did figure out, how to solve that sin problem. Jesus, on the other hand, is the solution to the problem. He understood that the solution was giving up his life for us. But he also understood that the solution was living a life of holiness and godliness so that his sacrifice would count, so that his death could effectively erase the wages of sin. He didn't just understand that he needed to die in order to resurrect. He understood that he needed to live, and he needed to live upright in order for that death to mean something. He foresaw the end even before it began, very literally. Because Jesus knew this even before the world was created. That makes him superior to Solomon. He was able to solve the equation even before the equation happened. He knew the problem was going to be, and he had a solution for it even before the problem happened. When Adam and Eve were created in holiness, they were created in holiness, and even in that state, when they were innocent, they were pure, and they were in close relationship with God, Jesus already knew how to solve the problem that had not yet happened. And hence why he says, here is one greater than Solomon. When he came to this world, he understood. He understood what he needed to do. This is why at the age of 12, Luke records there in chapter 2 that Jesus was able to respond so sagely to his mother, "Do you not know that I am about my Father's business?" What 12-year-old speaks that way? What 12-year-old answers with such wisdom, with such understanding, with such a clear path to what his mission is? Even Solomon at the age of 12 wasn't imbued with that kind of wisdom. And hence why Christ says, here is one greater than Solomon. But finally, point number 3, go with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14 and 15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. You see, Jesus did more with less. Jesus was able to solve the impossible. But Jesus was able to keep his eyes on the prize. He did not squander away the wisdom that he had received from his Father. Jesus did not lose his focus. He did not squander away the wisdom that he had received. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus was in all points tempted as we are. You know, for a lot of people, this is difficult to understand. But wait a minute, Jesus is God. God, the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 13, cannot be tempted by man. He cannot be tempted by evil. How is it then that Jesus is God, but yet Jesus was tempted? Well, you see, Jesus wasn't tempted as God. Jesus was tempted as a man. And therefore, notice, this is why he says he was tempted as we are. The emotions that we feel, the desires that we have, the passions that we crave, the lust that we battle against, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, Christ went through it all as a man. But unlike us, unlike Solomon, he knew how to conquer temptation. He knew how to subdue his flesh. He knew how to keep those passions, desires, and lusts under his control. He knew how to never allow them to entangle his feet. Solomon didn't know how to do that. With all his wisdom, Solomon was never able to learn how to defeat temptation. With all his wisdom and all his understanding and all his knowledge, Solomon did not know how to keep his clothes from burning when that coal was upon his breast. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 13 and forward. Solomon fell prey to the same temptation his father did, he fell prey to his lust for women. And with it, Solomon bowed to foreign gods. He bowed to the gods of his wives and his concubines. You see, Jesus, the Bible's telling us, was tempted by women. He was tempted by desire. He was tempted by loneliness. He was tempted by these urges, these sexual urges. But he always kept them in check. He never allowed these lusts to overtake him or overrun him. He knew how to keep his mind focused on the Word of God. He knew how to concentrate, and he knew how to focus and not let his emotions get out of hand. You see, one way that Jesus solved this equation, one way that Jesus solved this puzzle, he spent his free time in prayer, fasting, and meditation. Instead of squandering his time away and going into places where he did not need to be, engaging in conversations that he should not have, and entertaining people that were toxic and that were not good for him and were going to try to veer his attention away, Jesus focused on God and kept his eyes on the prize behind the cross. He knew how to stay focused. He knew how not to let temptation subdue him. He knew how to endure it in a way where he could come out victorious. Something that Solomon was not able to do. And thus, Christ, rightfully so, says, here is one greater than Solomon. You see, the Queen of Sheba wanted to sit at the feet of Solomon. She wanted to learn from him. She wanted to grow from him. She wanted to test him with hard questions and riddles because very likely she couldn't solve them. And she marveled in his knowledge and his wisdom. But there were questions, riddles, and enigmas that Solomon didn't solve in his own life. He could not solve the question of how to get rid of sin righteously. He could not solve the question of how to defeat and conquer temptation and to remain unspotted from sin. He could not solve how to teach and train his son through example how to be a righteous king to the people. Solomon could not solve, or rather, he could not prevent how to squander that blessing away as he did. Jesus, on the other hand, did more with less. Jesus solved the impossible. And Jesus preserved and never lost the blessing he received from his Father. He became the wisdom of God once more, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He became the power of God. And thus, here is one greater than Solomon. He who solved the sin problem for us. He who kept his wisdom and kept his life unspotted for us is the same one who this morning calls. Is the same one who this morning invites. Let us reason together. You see, Christ has already left his word. He has already given us his wisdom for us to follow. He has given us his instructions to be able to solve the problem that we cannot solve on our own. But the question is, will we accept his authority? Will we acknowledge and accept that indeed Jesus is far greater and far superior to Solomon? Will we bow and acknowledge that indeed Jesus is God and that his wisdom is pure, undefiled, and leads to peace and glory? Or will we continue to resist and think that we are wiser than Christ? Will we continue to think that his authority has question marks on it? Will we make the same blasphemous mistake that the Pharisees and scribes made when they claimed that his power had as its source the devil himself? Or will we recognize our weakness compared to his? Will we recognize our shortcomings before him and be humble and bow and give our lives over to him who is greater than Solomon? The beginning of knowledge, says Proverbs 1:7, is the fear of the Lord. Jesus is God. And because he is the wisdom of God, and because he is the power of God, it is wise to begin our path by bowing to Christ. And as Paul called him, call him our Lord. Like Saul of Tarsus said, we should ask, what do you want me to do, Lord? The answer he gives is repent. God now commands all men to repent everywhere for their sins. Rise up, confess with all of your heart that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Be immersed in the waters of baptism into the name of the Father, into the name of the Son, and into the name of the Holy Spirit, because this is the one who was greater than Solomon. These are the instructions that he gave. And when you have put on Christ through baptism, rise to a newness of life and remain unspotted from sin. Be faithful unto death, says the Lord. And I, says Christ, I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. If there is anyone here this morning who is ready to bend their knee to Christ, by giving their life over to him, by trusting in his wisdom, by trusting in his kinship, and following in his leadership. Today, we are ready to help you, whether it is through baptism because you've never obeyed the gospel, or because you need to reconcile with your God, because you need to return to God because your sins have separated you from him. If you need our help in making that relationship with God right, one who is greater than Solomon is here this morning, and we can put you in contact with him through the avenue of prayer. If you are ready to accept this invitation as we stand and we sing.